May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God. Amen. One Sunday after church, when I was 15, my grandfather broke his hip outside the sirloin stockade. He spent some time in the hospital, and when he was discharged, he went to a nursing home for rehab. Now, my grandpa was a great man, but he was not a patient. He hated the nursing home. So when he finally got his release date, my mom made a colorful countdown calendar to hang on the wall of his room. With magic marker, she turned the 19th square into a little house. On February 19th, Grandpa would finally get to go home. We marked off the days on the calendar until the 16th, because on the 16th, quite unexpectedly, Grandpa died. The family got lost in preparations for his funeral, so many of you know firsthand what that entails, particularly all the considerations for choosing the best date for the service. You must check the availability of the organist, the preacher, and the church. You need to give adequate time for folks to travel in. My cousin's birthday is the 20th, so Grandma wanted to avoid tarnishing her special day. As we gathered in the back of the sanctuary just prior to the funeral service, my mom realized something. Grandpa didn't go home to 4001 West Columbia as we thought he would, as the chart intended when Mom lovingly made it for him. But on February 19th, we read scriptures, sang hymns of our shared faith, and followed in procession to the cemetery, where we put him in the ground, all symbolic of the fact that he had, in another sense, gone home. Have you ever said something that later became even more true than you originally intended? Have you ever revisited words spoken some time ago that now mean more than they did when they were first said? "We're going to have a great adventure," declared at the start of vacation, hits a bit differently after a trip where you sprained your ankle hiking, left your wallet in an Uber, and didn't realize until you got to the airport that you booked your return flights from Portland, Maine, rather than Oregon. An adventure, indeed, just maybe not the one you were planning on. If you've ever experienced this added layer of meaning to words previously spoken, then you are in great position to begin understanding biblical prophecy. During Advent, we read Old Testament texts that point to a future when God will redeem Israel. Though these passages come from a variety of authors and time periods, they share a few themes in common. God's people have lost their way by falling into idolatry, mistreating the poor, and perverting justice. Therefore, God has allowed punishment to befall them in the form of military defeat and exile. But this punishment will not last forever. A day is coming when things will be made right, when Israel will be restored. And that day does come. In 538, the Israelites are permitted to return home. Some do. And eventually, the temple is even rebuilt. But nothing is as it once was. The former glory days are not recaptured. There's conflict between those who returned and those who had stayed behind in Jerusalem. The rebuilt temple is not as grand as the original. And most notably, never again does a descendant of David rule Israel, which is especially disheartening because God had promised David that his line would rule over Israel forever. So, the Jewish people are back in their homeland, but the promises of the prophets are only partially realized. Israel is not autonomous, and Persian rule gives way to the Greeks who give way to the Romans. Some Jews continue to hope for the deeper fulfillment of God's promises in the form of a coming Messiah. Others resign themselves to this being about as good as it's going to get. Still others align themselves with the power structures of the day, hoping those powers will secure for them what it seems God has failed to provide. Today's reading from Micah originally promised delivery for those eager to return home from exile. In short order, his words proved true. Israel came home, but the truth of Micah's words was not exhausted by their homecoming. And those words took on new life generations later. In the birth of the Christ child, Matthew understands that the prophet's words come to pass once more in a deeper, richer way. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, magi from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews?" The stars tell the magi a king has been born to the Jews, so it makes sense that they would go to Jerusalem, the palace specifically, to check this out. But there is no baby in Herod's house. Did the stars get it wrong, or is something else happening here? A vague memory fills Herod with dread. Those Jews who are still waiting for deliverance, where did they say that was going to come from? The chief priests and scribes can answer his question. In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet Micah. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel. Herod has a problem. There is a new king in Israel, and he thinks it threatens his rule. Now notice here that Herod does not have a lack of faith. He believes the wise men when they tell him about the star's message. And he believes the chief priests and scribes when they recall the prophecy. Herod believes God is moving in the world. And immediately takes steps to try to stop God's plans. How astonishing that Herod's faith in God's deliverance leads him not to rejoicing, but to the devastating and drastic actions he takes next. Herod tries to use the wise men to locate the baby, and when that doesn't work, he demands the lives of every baby under the age of two. It's a horrific story. But for our purposes today, we see that once again, Bethlehem becomes a source of leadership for God's people. Just as King David came from Bethlehem, so too does this new king. And just as Israel enjoyed its greatest prosperity under Bethlehem's first king, they will enjoy a greater, fuller, new prosperity under the kingship of this baby born to Mary. Though this greater, fuller, new prosperity will look nothing like they expect, and nothing like how the world defines such things. Micah's words were once fulfilled in Israel's literal return to the Holy Land, but now are fulfilled anew in Jesus' birth. Jesus will be a king from David's line, reestablishing God's ancient promise of an eternal covenant with David's descendants. But there's more. We believe these prophecies have still not been exhausted. There is a time yet to come when Christ's kingship will be recognized by all of creation, and we will dwell in peace with God and one another. When talking about the prophets, Paula Gooder refers to a swirl of time. The past and the future and the present get all jumbled up together like paint swirled together as an artist mixes paint on her palette. I love that image and the way it captures the chaotic feeling of prophecy across time. But I prefer a related image. I like to think of biblical prophecy as a spiral. Rather than jumbled up, history spirals deeper toward God's promises until they are fully realized. Each time we go round, we pass by words of old that ring truer still. What is true at one point finds new and deeper truth as time goes on. The words, "This will be an adventure," were true before you pulled out of the driveway for vacation. They are true in a new way by the time you get home. My mother's chart for my grandfather was true as she taped it to the wall. But a month later, we came to know it as truer still. Grandpa didn't just go home. He went home. Micah's words were true in the 6th century BCE and found new application at Christ's birth. And now we watch and wait to see how the prophet's words might come to be true once more. This Advent, as we continue to wait for the birth of the Christ child, may we keep our eyes wide open for the ways God's words are true again in our day. Let us look for the places where the lowly are lifted up, where the grieving are comforted, where justice is served, where mercy is shown, where the least of these is treated as if he were Christ himself. Let us wait with eyes wide open for a God who we trust continues to move in our world and who is moving us ever closer to the second advent, when all God's promises will be realized in their fullness. Thanks be to God. Amen.